So we're in Mark 1 and beginning in verse 40. If you want to follow along either by reading or listening, only Mark 1, verses 40 through 45. And this is the very word of the living God. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Well, I'm no physician, but we need to talk about leprosy for a bit. Leprosy was a skin disease in Israel. We can trace it even back to the Egyptians. It's a disease that attacked the nervous system. And because children are present, I don't really want to describe it. It's fairly gross. There were stages of degeneration. We don't know exactly what stage the leper in our story was. But the way it worked is the whiter you were, the worse you were. As it got worse, your skin became more and more splotchy white. Your hair became white. You may remember in the Old Testament of pulling out your hand with leprosy and it was all white. It was simply a losing feeling in every part of your body. In the worst stages, you would start to lose fingers and things like that. So according to the Old Testament law, if you were a leper, you lived in a leper colony outside any city or town. You could only live with other lepers. You were never allowed in the temple, even the outside of the temple. Whenever you walked around people, you had to cover your face and you had to yell unclean to warn them that you were approaching. The way Judaism of the day looked at leprosy was that if you had it, you had committed what we might call an unforgivable sin. Because it was the worst punishment imaginable, then they assumed you've done the worst thing imaginable to merit this type of punishment. And also, it was incurable. There is a story, of course, in the Old Testament that God had cured a leper once, but no one had ever been cured medically of leprosy. And so there was no ministry to the lepers in those days. The Jews did not have sort of a compassion ministry where somebody would cover themselves and go to the colony and make sure they had enough food or they were provided for. Nobody tried to help them. The rabbis came up beside what Leviticus taught, an immeasurable amount of more rules of how far you had to stay away from a leper. One rabbi even boasted that he would throw rocks at lepers, and it was a boast of how holy he was. So it was a horrible existence, obviously a very lonely existence. And the idea is, and it says this even in Leviticus, they had to walk around with their clothes torn, which is a sign of mourning for a death. And it's really your own death. You are considered as good as dead, in other words. Now, the great concern about touching a leper was not the medical concern. It was not that you might get leprosy. The Old Testament never even said it was contagious. Now, it was assumed it was, but it doesn't actually say that. The great concern was that you would be ceremonially unclean, that you would be dirty before God. And so if you touched any part of a leper or his clothing or anything he touched, you would be cast out of the camp of Israel for a time. And you had to be washed and cleansed. And if you actually got the leprosy, then you were permanently cast out, which means you were cast out of God's presence. Now, the Jews in this day did not believe in original sin, at least in reality. Sin was not something intrinsic to their natures. It's something you could avoid. And so in their minds, if they wanted to avoid sin, they would avoid lepers. And so the laws against of leprosy were, yes, to protect from infection, but that wasn't really the main point. The main point is to protect from uncleanness. You see, there are other diseases you could catch besides leprosy that could kill you. But at the deeper level, leprosy became God's picture of original sin. If you wanted a human picture of what original sin was, something that defiled your entire person, that separated you from God, leprosy was the greatest picture, because that's what leprosy did. It defiled every part of you, and it separated you from God and his people, just like your sin nature. Now, the message to Israel was a message they were not receiving. The message is all of us are born spiritual lepers. All of us are born unclean before God. But the Israelites, that was not a message they were interested in. In their minds, the lepers did something to deserve God's punishment, and we did not. Now, that's important for you to remember as we work through this story, that this picture is for you. You were born a spiritual leper, unclean in every part of you, before a holy God. And so with that in mind, let's consider our passage. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to answer two questions from verse 14. I'm sorry, not 14. Verse 44. The first one is, why did Jesus instruct the leper, the healed leper, to go to the priest? And the second question is, why did he sternly warn him not to tell anyone that Christ had healed him? Now, the first question is answered by the book of Leviticus. If you were a leper and you claimed that you didn't have leprosy anymore, that had to be proved by a priest. There was an elaborate ritual they had to go through with you. And if you were successful through the ritual, the priest would declare you clean. You could move back into the village with all the other people and live without people staying away from you or calling you unclean. And so Jesus tells him to go to the priest, go through the ritual for one reason, so you can enter the community again. And so they can be sure officially that you no longer have leprosy. But also the Bible says this was a testimony to the priests, actually against the priests, because the priests of Israel would end up not believing in Christ. And yet here was tangible evidence that Jesus was who he said he was. If a leper, they've never seen a healed leper. They've probably never done this ritual before. That's in Leviticus. Now they have a man who was a leper who now is healed. And it's very clear that Jesus is who he says he was. It's evidence to them that when they rejected him, they had no reason because of what this man showed to them. The second question is a bit more complicated. We raised this question weeks ago when Jesus instructed the demons not to say who he was. Okay, now we can understand that a bit. Why would Jesus need demons to witness for him? But this is a little harder to understand, isn't it? Because now it's the opposite of evangelism, isn't it? The man is healed by Jesus. He's actually saved. And then Jesus tells him, don't tell anyone I did this for you. It's sort of what you would never do in an evangelism class. Say, go out and don't say anything. If God has worked in your life or done anything for you, don't tell anyone. It's even more difficult to understand this later on in Matthew, that famous passage where Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus says? He says, don't tell anyone. Now you're telling the disciples, those who were supposed to be fishers of men, not to tell anyone who Jesus was. Well, before we look at the answer in verse 40, we see that the leper was not obedient to this command, but we sort of understand it, right? Can you imagine walking down the path and someone coming up to him, "Didn't you used to have leprosy?" And you going, "What happened?" "I can't tell you." I mean, he would be bursting, wanting to tell what happened. So even though it was disobedient, we sort of understand that he wanted to tell everyone what Jesus had done. But we see the answer in verse 40. When he went out and began telling people, Jesus' ministry became, it was threatening to become more of a circus and a sideshow. And that's what all healing, quote, crusades are. They're circuses. They're sideshows. And that's what the people wanted, and that's what Jesus did not want. Jesus wanted to preach the gospel. And the gospel was, you're all spiritual lepers, and you need to be cleansed. And that's what I came to do. But they weren't interested in that message, but they did want the healing sideshow. And so by ordering this man to be silent, it's basically an act of judgment on Israel. It's saying, for a year now, you've been rejecting my message. Now, people who know are not going to tell you. Because the more the word gets out, the more you're still not listening. But that's exactly what happened, is people kept coming so much that he couldn't even meet in a public place. He had to go to the desert so they would come out to him. We might even imagine what had happened right after he had healed the leper. Imagine all the excitement and the praise, people crowding around the leper. And we can imagine Jesus and all the excitement saying to the man, "Leave now. This is getting out of hand. Go and don't keep telling people anymore." And we see why. Now we've answered those questions. Let's consider the healing itself. The leper had heard about Jesus, had heard how he was healing people, how he was a compassionate person, and he did what was never done in Israel. He came into a big, large group of people as a leper. Now you have to put yourself in the story and imagine what would have been the response. They would have been aghast and all would have backed away as far as they could. It would have been a very large circle, and all you had left is Jesus and the leper. Except Jesus did not back away. He stayed where the leper could approach him. So the man falls on his knees and he makes a statement, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice how he's not questioning his power. His power was very evident. What he questioned is his compassion. Would you even be willing to help someone like me? Someone who God, it seems, and certainly the Israelites have deemed unclean. Would you even have compassion on the worst of sinners? That's the question. And notice how he responds. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He could have said, you can heal me physically. But he knows that it's connected. He needs to be declared clean spiritually also. So he's asking for salvation, which would then include the healing. And so he falls on his knees and he begs for mercy. There's a song by the Temptations called "Ain't Too Proud to Beg." If you want to be a Christian and you want to know Jesus, you can't be too proud to beg. This is somebody coming to Christ, falling on his knees, asking for mercy. You see, you can be in the church all your life and never come to Christ and ask for mercy and beg for forgiveness. Notice the Lord's response. Mark writes, he was filled with compassion. Now stop there and ask the question, how did Mark know this? How do you know what's going on inside somebody? Peter would have been the one that told him. How did Peter know this? Peter can read Jesus' mind. Well, because you can see it. When somebody is filled with compassion, you can see it on his face. You can hear it in his tone of speech. You could see it in his eyes. Imagine a mother with a very sick child in a hospital, and you walked in. And you said, how is it going? Well, the mother is just sick with compassion. Well, how would you know that? Because you were there. You saw her. He saw how she was looking and speaking to her child. And so they knew simply by looking at Christ that he was full of pity. And then it says Jesus touched him. In the Greek, it's actually he reached out and grabbed him. You can imagine maybe putting his hands on the man's shoulders. That would have been the most shocking for the crowd. That's when you would have heard a gasp, because you're not allowed to touch a leper. Remember, when Jesus touches in the New Testament, it's to show personal care. That's why it took so long for healings. He would go person to person and give them a touch so they knew his care for them. But in this situation, the touch meant more. Here we have a foreshadowing of the cross, because Jesus is becoming ceremonially unclean at the same time this person is becoming clean before God. Symbolically, Jesus is saying, I will take your sin upon myself. I will be declared unclean by God for you to be healed. That's why Jesus couldn't really become unclean. He was holy. But symbolically, he was taking on the man's uncleanliness. He was saying, I will take your punishment so you can be declared clean. That great transaction on the cross is foreshadowed here. Christ, your sins on Christ, his righteousness on you. That's what happened at the cross, and that's what Jesus is picturing by touching him. And then you have the man's response. Well, first, Jesus' response, I am willing. I am willing. This is the Lord's disposition for all sinners who come to him. I am willing. That doesn't change. Even today, Jesus is in heaven. I am willing to forgive you of all your sins. It's true today as it was then, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then those words, be clean. Here you have the power of Christ. One word, and the man is completely healed. That white, rotted flesh would turn back to its normal skin color. All the disfigurement would be straightened out. All the boils would be cleared up. At that moment, everyone would watch a leper becoming clean. He was now a new man, and a new man in Christ. Now, what is the application for us? Well, first of all, the greatest worry of every minister, and I would say in many ways for many Christians, is that you could be religious and in the church all your life, but not coming to Christ for salvation. You're still too proud to beg. You're trusting in yourself, your religious works, your church, or doctrine, and you haven't personally come to Christ, admitting you're a leper that needs to be cleansed. If that is true of you today, either in this room or within my hearing, and you know if it's you, Jesus is in heaven saying, I am willing. But you must come to a person, you must come to Christ to be cleansed. Know that he is waiting even now and will say, now you are clean. Secondly, Christian, if you are a Christian, you want to know where you are in the text. It's pretty obvious today, right? You are the leper who is clean now before God because he took your uncleanness on himself at the cross. He took your filth, everything you've ever thought, said, or done from birth. Every part of you that did not meet God's requirements, he took upon himself because he had compassion on you, like we see in this passage. And by the way, as a Christian now, in all you go through, whether you've sinned greatly, whether you're backsliding, as they call it, whether you're weak, you're full of sorrow, Jesus' attitude towards you is one of compassion. He cannot change in his attitude. So his disposition toward you always is compassion. The sadnesses you go through in life, what is Jesus thinking? He's compassionate towards you right now. Thirdly and finally, If you are a Christian and you really believe that you were once a spiritual leper that's been cleansed by Christ, that belief will be evidenced by how you view spiritual lepers out there, how you view the lost. You see, it's easy to cheer on Christ in the story, but then respond just like the people and the Pharisees. How do you respond when you see spiritual lepers all around you in the ugliness of their sin? We know there's a time for judgment, but right now is the time for compassion and mercy. And so do you look upon them with contempt and derision? Is that how you think, speak, and write about them? Or are you like Christ, who looks upon them with compassion for the state they are in? That's how you can measure what you believe about your own salvation. And so we need to see ourselves as formerly spiritual lepers, no better than anyone else in our leprosy, that Christ is cleansed out of compassion. And the way we look at the lost is with pity. And we know the one who can make them clean. Amen. Let's pray.